time it failed to pull it off. Well, the next time it might do better. When your friends seem to drift away.
Welcome back to this fifth episode of the Chattanooga Locavore Podcast. I am your host, Sean Schuster from White Ivy Farm. And we have a great episode this time. We have Letty Smith from Circle S Farms in Rising Fawn, Georgia. We talk about the CSA that they run. She runs the CSA with her husband. And they also sell at farmers markets. They sell at the Grace St. Episcopal Church market and also Main Street market. So we will have that interview a little bit later. Of course, last week I missed a show. Like I said in the previous episode, in episode 4, I said that we were expecting a baby. Well, the baby came. We had a boy last Saturday, a week ago Saturday, and his name is James, and he is doing great. Mother and son are both doing great. So I want to thank everyone for the well wishes, and thank everyone for listening to the show and just you know, being supporters of the show. I really appreciate it. So let's go ahead and get into the interview. This is, again, Letty Smith from Circle S Farms in Rising Fawn, Georgia. All right, we are back here with Letty Smith of Circle S Farms, who she owns Circle S Farms with her husband, Curtis. And you are located in Georgia. What part of Georgia is it?
We are in Rising Fawn, Georgia, in the northwest corner, on Lookout Mountain, but on the Georgia side.
Oh, okay, great. Now, how big is your farm? Is it how many acres is it?
We have 30 acres, and we lease 40 acres next door to us.
Oh, okay.
Our garden's probably like 2 acres total. We have a couple of high tunnels and stuff.
So the rest is mostly pasture?
Right. And okay. We have an 8-acre woodlot.
Oh, okay. Great. Now, can you explain a little bit about how you got into farming?
Well, I've always been into animals. I grew up riding horses and went out west and worked for an outfitter, taking pack trips on horses. And he had a bunch of cows, so then I sort of got interested in cows. So really started out with the animals, and then just when I moved back here, got interested in gardening. So that's been about 20 years ago, and had some great neighbors who were older and had grown up on farms or just, you know, had a lot of experience with it that kind of helped me get started and learn how to grow things. And then it just kind of went from there. And so the gardening is a big part of our business. And then we also have animals. So.
And you sell produce and you sell pastured meat, right?
Right. We have cows and we have sheep and then we have laying hens and sometimes we raise a few meat chickens as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have any special philosophies or standards for your farm? Like no chemicals? I know you're certified naturally grown, right?
Right. Our vegetables are certified naturally grown. Our animals are pastured. We don't have any certification on them. But, you know, they mainly just eat grass and live outside, get to move around in the sunshine and do whatever they want to do. So.
And be happy, right?
Yeah. And we use a lot of animal compost. We'll stack it up and compost it for, you know, 6 or 8 months and then use it back on our garden. So I guess that's what I'm working towards. We aren't quite there yet, but we really like to make it sustain itself so that our animals can, you know, sustain our garden. And then we turn around and, you know, if we have extra vegetables that they'll eat, then they end up, you know, eating turnips or radishes that we can't sell at the market. So that's kind of what we're working towards, our goals to not have very many inputs.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how these things all work together. You know, if you compost for the vegetables and then vegetables to feed the animals, and once you get that going, it's that, you know, that sustainable model that where we don't have to go out and buy feed. Well, not as much, I guess, but so that's something you're attaining towards?
Yes, that's something we're working towards. We're getting there. We get busy sometimes, and we don't stack up our manure compost as soon as we should, and we end up having to, you know, buy in some compost or something every now and then. But we're trying to get there.
Yeah, yeah. Now, there's quite a big trend in organic farming these days, and not only in people wanting to return to the land, but also consumers wanting to buy organic food and just food that, you know, has been raised humanely and with no chemicals. So what do you think about this current trend?
Oh, I think it's great that people are getting so educated. I think for a long time we just, you know, didn't know what was going on with our food supply and all the big agriculture and everything. So it's exciting that people are really getting educated, and that all these groups like Gaining Ground and, all the things that are going on in Chattanooga especially are helping us learn about our food supply.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Chattanooga, I think, I've talked to a few other people who said, you know, Chattanooga's, it's growing so big, and not only that, but just the education, like you said, of this type of lifestyle, you know, of eating more healthy and all that. It's a really big thing in Chattanooga, especially opposed to other major cities, or at least cities of that size. And especially in the Southeast, you know, it's a kind of a known problem with obesity and things like that in this area. And I think it's inspirational, you know, that Chattanooga is getting to that point, definitely.
Absolutely. We had one lady sign up for our CSA, and she was having some weight problems, and her doctor had told her that she needed to make sure that she didn't eat especially any animals, but just really mainly vegetables and animals that, you know, that vegetables that didn't have any chemical fertilizers or any chemicals sprayed on them, and then, you know, animals that hadn't been fed any antibiotics or anything like hormones or anything like that. So she signed up for our CSA, and it was amazing. She said she lost, I think she lost 40 pounds, and that's all she did. She said, I didn't change, you know, the way I was cooking. I didn't change anything except the ingredients. You know, I was using your vegetables and your meats, and she lost 40 pounds. So it was pretty, those kind of stories are really exciting, and, you know, it's fun to watch, and sort of, you know, our food is our medicine sometimes. So,
oh, yeah.
It's important. Get stuff and spend the money to do so.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. It's one of those things where, you know, you either spend the money in food like that, or you spend it in healthcare later. You know, it's a trade-off.
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned your CSA. Can you talk a little bit about the CSA? Does it have a member cap, and what kind of produce do you offer?
We love our CSA. We started with just our CSA, which is kind of unusual, but I was gardening so much, and we were having so much produce that we couldn't eat it all, and I couldn't can it all, and so it kind of just grew with a group of friends that we started out with like 10 members, and they were kind of all friends and signed up, and it's really been mostly word of mouth since then. Now we're up to, I think this year we'll have 40 full members, and so, yeah, we do have a cap, but we grow tons of vegetables, and then we grow strawberries, and we have a little apple orchard and some blueberries, so we have some fruit as well, and then we do herbs, and people can add flowers or eggs to their CSA share, and they can also, they're first in line to purchase a quarter of beef or half a lamb if they choose to do so.
Oh, great. So is it as structured as having just like a single share, double share, half share, plus these add-ons, or is it really free form?
Yeah, it's, well, we ask that people sign up for a vegetable share or like a quarter of meat if they want eggs, because our eggs sell out pretty quick, and we definitely want to make sure that the people that are getting vegetables or meat are the first, you know. So we don't let anybody sign up for just eggs. But other than that, you can kind of sign up for what you want. That's how it goes.
And it's been, you said you started out like that. Has it been a success for you?
Yeah, it has. It's just been, We are selling at two markets as well now, but it's really nice to have the CSA. You know that you have your stuff sold and you have that support, and you don't have to take as much risk. Because it's hard to know what to plant for market. It's hard to know what everybody else is going to have and what you're going to be able to sell. And, so it's wonderful to know that when you're taking, you know, these buckets of produce, that they are already sold, that somebody's going to enjoy them. And so, yeah, we love that. And we started out delivering because it seemed like it made more sense. All of our members were kind of close neighbors, you know. It seemed like it made more sense for me to get in my car and make a little trip for them, for all of them to get in their cars and come out to the farm. So we still deliver to Lookout Mountain and St. Elmo. And then we offer some pickup so people can pick it up at the Main Street Farmers Market or at the Brainerd Farmers Market.
And those are the only two markets you sell to?
Yeah, so far. And so people that are out of our delivery range, you know, if they live in Cleveland or North Chattanooga or somewhere that we don't deliver to, they can pick up at whichever one of those markets is closest to them.
Great. Now, how do you feel about selling it to market rather than the CSA? I know you said that it seems like there's more security with the CSA. What about selling it at market? Do you sell kind of the leftovers at the market, or how does that work?
Yeah, we always have crop. I mean, we plant some things for market, and we sell to a few restaurants as well. Hmm. And we kind of, with the restaurants that we work with, we kind of know what they are going to buy, so we can kind of plant things for them. With the market, though, it's like I said, sometimes it's hard to know what the other vendors are going to bring on a certain week, and so there's a lot more risk there. But it's good publicity, and we get to get out and meet a lot of people. There's so many great people that go to both of those markets that are really educated about what they're purchasing and have good questions, and it's just always good to get out there and talk to everybody. And so we like going to the markets too, and it's nice to do a CSA pickup because then we know we're, you know, taking some things that have already been purchased, and so there's a little bit of security in that, and then we can sell whatever extra we have.
Now, I imagine people do sign up for your CSA at the market when they see what you have, and maybe if they've bought from you. Do you find that this is becoming just overwhelming? I mean, is the customer base getting so large that you kind of can't keep up? I hear that from a lot of people.
Well, the customer base is definitely growing, and like I said, that the two markets we sell, where we take stuff to sell, there's definitely a growing number of people that are showing up, and like I said, more educated about what they're buying, and but there's a growing number of vendors, which is really cool. So I'm hoping that, you know, that keeps everybody happy, the consumers and the farmers. If we can kind of grow at the same rate, then hopefully there'll be enough for everybody.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, though. It's I hate to say the word competition because it doesn't seem like that with farmers, but a lot of times, right, you find at the market, you know, people, if they're selling the same things, farmers will sometimes kind of adjust themselves, I think, which is great, which is, you know, where they'll bring something else to kind of complement the others. Do you find that to be true?
Yeah, we definitely try to grow certain things, you know, like you said, that you might want at the same time. For instance, like tomatoes and basil, or, you know, things that go together. And then, you know, a lot of times at market, we love to send people to other vendors if we don't have what they're looking for. So, you know, the farming community is great, and we all share ideas and troubleshoot together. And so I've really enjoyed that experience because, like you say, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of competition. It's more like we're all out there to help each other, so it's a good thing.
Yeah, I definitely agree. What about for aspiring farmers? I'm sure you've had people talk to you probably at the market about, you know, how they can get into this. Do you have any advice for aspiring farmers?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I sort of just jumped in with both feet and didn't have a lot of experience or knowledge working for someone else. Like I said, I had several mentors who were just older people who had grown up on farms or whatever, but I didn't have any experience, especially on the gardening side, working for anybody else and really seeing how they did things. So it's been kind of interesting because I think maybe in some ways that's good because I've come up with things that nobody else does because they just haven't, they've learned how to do it from the beginning. But I, in a lot of ways, I feel like I would have been better served if I had, been an intern with another farm or started out working with farmers that knew what they were doing before I just jumped in and started doing it myself. So it's been my learning curve maybe would have been a little bit quicker if I had spent some time on some other farms. But
well, I think that's something you find these days. You know, in 50 years ago, if somebody wanted to be a farmer, they would go to school for it. They would, talk to their neighbors and they would learn one specific way of farming. And now it seems like, you go on the internet and you go on message boards and you join these groups and you go to the market, and you talk to other farmers and it's a lot more trial and error, which is fantastic.
Right.
It's a lot more kind of learning, like you said, learning from your mistakes, learning what works, what doesn't work, especially for your soil and for your, specific
right.
climate. I mean, there's so many different things. So I think that, I think that is good advice. Just do it and just kind of, it's an expensive lesson, but, you just do it and kind of figure it out from there with the help of, and the advice of other people around you. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. And you're so right. I mean, your challenges are going to be a little bit different than everybody else's because your soil is different. And, where we are, we have a lot of wind. And so that's been one of our big challenges is, plants don't really, they don't love to be blown around when they're just young transplants. So, everybody just sort of has their own, some people are in a floodplain, so they have to worry about that. And so, everybody's challenges are a little bit different, but it all works out in the end.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another thing I think for, the price of organic foods and the price of small-scale farming, food from small-scale farmers is because you're not only paying for, the health benefits, you're also paying for, there's a lot of work that goes into just producing a small amount. And you see other farmers, we actually have, where I live in Higdon, Alabama, and we have farmers across the street that do soybeans. And once a year he goes out there with his tractor and he, tills up the ground, and then he goes out there with a seeder and he seeds it, and then the whole rest of the year he doesn't do anything, and then he goes back out there and then he harvests it, on his big tractor, and sometimes I'll look at that while I'm hoeing away with a little hand hoe, and it's like, wow, that's incredible. But that's what you're paying for, when you go to the farmer's market and or if you join a CSA and you're buying this food, you're kind of, I hate to be cliche, but you're paying for that love and care that the farmer's putting into this more small scale produce, and I think
right.
that's really important.
And that's a lot of times that's a question that people ask. It hasn't been as much lately, but it seemed like when we first got started, there were so many people who would say, I can go to Walmart and get organic spinach, and it's cheaper than yours. Why, since you're selling it directly to me, why is it more expensive? And, it's just that economy of scale. If you have a huge farm and all you're growing is spinach and, you can afford to charge a cheaper price for it. And, but it's, you also have to consider it's been shipped probably halfway across the country and it's not as fresh. And like you said, I mean, we just can't sell it. We just have to sell it. We have to be able to make a little bit of a profit. And so, that's how we come up with our prices, just so that we can try to stay in business and make a little bit of a profit. And so I try to explain that to people when they, because I know, we're all on a budget, and I understand, we all have to eat, and so we need to spend our pennies as well as we can. But it definitely comes up that even though it's a direct sale, it's maybe a little more expensive, and so it's important to try to explain to people why.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another thing about local food is, like you said, people don't understand sometimes why if you're selling direct to them, that why it would be more expensive. But it's the importance of you know, building the local economy and also food that's maybe native that works better in this area, you know, and in the right season and all this type of thing. I mean, if you, you know, you get oranges in the middle of winter, you know, it's not local, you know, and
right,
that's,
right.
It's just one of those things. But there are all these challenges too, where I've seen certain groups will have challenges like the 100-mile challenge, where you only eat food that's grown within 100 miles of you. And that type of thing is challenging, but it's very possible. You know, it's very possible, especially here in, you know, the Chattanooga Valley region. There's still a lot that you can grow around here. There's, you know, we don't have a harsh winter. We might have a lot of wind and rain at this time, but it's, you know, it's very possible to eat a you know, a lot of food, a lot of different types of food.
Right, exactly. And I mean, we do have a pretty long growing season, and our soils around here are pretty rich, and so we're lucky that way, for sure.
Do you grow any anything, I hate to say exotic, but anything that's maybe out of the ordinary?
Well, a few things. Not anything that really nobody, that, you know, other farmers aren't growing. But last year we did grow, in our high tunnel, I was determined to try and grow artichokes.
Oh.
So we very successfully grew, I think I only planted 6 plants, and they got huge. They took up half the high tunnel, so I decided that maybe it wasn't the best, financially the best use of the space, but it was really fun to get to see them grow, and of course people loved getting to have them in their CSA buckets, but I'm not sure if I'm going to do it again very soon.
Well, if someone wanted to join your CSA, or if they wanted to buy from you at the farmers markets, what would they need to do?
Well, you can, we have a website, it's circlesfarm.net, and you can go there and download the sign-up form for our CSA, and also on the website it explains everything down to the letter, so you know exactly what you can sign up for and how to do it, and how much it costs and all that stuff. And you just print that sign-up sheet off and fill it out and send it to me with a check. Some people can't pay all of it up front, so we just ask that you pay a quarter of the total cost, and then I can bill people for the rest. So that's kind of how it works. Some people like to go ahead and pay for it all, but we like to work with people if they need to make payments. So.
And then the markets you sell, you said Main Street?
Yep, we sell at the Main Street Farmers Market, which is 4 to 6. Right now it's 4 to 5, but in April the hours go to 4 to 6. And so we do a pickup for our CSA there, and then we also just sell our vegetables and meats, whatever we have left over. And then the Brainerd Farmers Market is at Grace Episcopal Church on Brainerd Road, and it is, I think it's from 10 to 12 on Saturdays. And both of those markets have a website as well that you could search and find out more information about them.
Great. Well, thank you for joining me on the show. This was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot, too. And I hope the listeners were able to learn quite a bit about, you know, how you do things and maybe the importance of CSA and market and the farmers market itself. But thank you again for joining me.
Well, thank you, Sean, and it's been fun to talk to you.
There you have it, a wonderful interview with Letty Smith of Circle S Farms. I want to thank Letty again for coming on the show. That was a lot of fun. And you can check out her website for the farm that she runs with her husband, Circle S Farms, at circlesfarm.net. I keep saying Circle S Farms, but I think it's Circle S Farm, because there's only one farm, right? Yeah, you can check that out, circlesfarm.net. And on her website, she has some, you know, more detailed information on how to join their CSA, what they sell. They have a blog where they talk more about what they do on the farm. So it's definitely, check that out if you're interested in, you know, in joining a CSA. There's a lot of information there as well. And like she said, you can see her at the Grace Episcopal Church Farmers Market and also Main Street Farmers Market, which is a year-round farmers market. And if you'd like to check out our website, check out the show notes for today's episode where I'll have a link to Letty and Curtis Smith's farm. You can go to ChattanoogaLocavore.com, and right there will be the show notes where you can actually play the show right in the show notes right there, or you can download it, or you can listen through an RSS reader. I finally have it hooked up to iTunes. Some people were asking about it. I finally have it set up. So you can subscribe via iTunes. You can subscribe via RSS, which is basically if you have any other type of RSS reader, you can use RSS to automatically get each episode once I upload it. It automatically uploads it to you so you can download it. So we have that. You can also join our community, our Facebook community, which is at facebook.com/ChattanoogaLocavore. You can also check out our Twitter if you're into Twitter. It's twitter.com/ChattaLocavore. So that is basically where I put up little announcements when I put up a new show. So that will help you keep track of you know when there's a new show. And you can email me anytime at show@ChattanoogaLocavore.com. And that's where you can suggest someone for me to interview. You can suggest maybe even a local band. If you know of a local band or you're in a local band and you want to be featured on the show in the theme song, shoot me an email. I'll check it out. I have quite a backlog of some great bands right now, but that'll run out soon. And the theme for this episode is actually from Millalay Roots. I hope I pronounced that right. They're a very popular Chattanooga band, and the name of the song is Dig, which was appropriate for this episode, I figured. One more thing I wanted to mention before I go, a little reminder about the event tonight at Gaining Ground. Will Allen from the movie Fresh, he's a urban farming activist. He will be at Gaining Ground, 55 East Main Street in Chattanooga. And he will talk all about, here it says on the description, potential of urban farming as well as the limitations and barriers in addressing health, environmental, economic, and social justice issues in Chattanooga. There will be local treats provided by Ann Keener, owner of the Farmer's Daughter restaurant, coming soon. It's a free event, open to the public, and it might be too late by the time you're listening to this right now, but it's at 12 o'clock p.m. through 1 o'clock p.m. today. And I will be there, and next week I will probably talk a great deal about what I saw at the event. So if you're there and you see me, say hi. You have no idea what I look like, but that's the beauty of podcasting, right? All right, everyone. Thanks again for listening. Bye-bye.